Anybody remember what the sermon was on last Sunday? Pop wasn't here to bail you all out, was he? Pop would say Jesus. It was on Jesus. Amen. Last Sunday was Memorial Day, Memorial Weekend. We talked a little bit about that, the memorials. Amen. We talked about Joshua and Caleb getting ready to cross over into the promised land. Amen? Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to make some memorials. Sometimes you got to make some stops along the way and some reminders of the goodness and the faithfulness of God in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. It was Joshua and Caleb that went in to spy out the land, went in to spy out the promised land. And there were 12 of them that were sent in. And they had to come back with a report and report back to Moses and the elders and said, what did you see in the land? And they said, well, it was a land that flows with milk and honey. It was a good land. They had grape pods that we had to put on pods and hold between our shoulders. Amen. That it was such a rich land. It was such a powerful land and a fruitful land. Hallelujah. As Pap would say, there was tomatoes the size of frying pans, and there were heads of cabbage the size of bushel baskets, and there were, you know, ears of corn. And he would tell us about his garden over there along the river, and he'd tell us how big his tomatoes were and how big his heads of cabbage were. And I said, every time I read the story about the promised land, I think about Pap telling me, you know, his cabbage the size of bushel baskets. They really weren't as big as bushel baskets. Just, you know, they really weren't quite the size of frying pans, but that's all right. Hallelujah. Small frying pan. Yeah, you could get a small frying pan. Hallelujah. But it was a rich land. Amen. And when he planted a garden over there, he could grow some vegetables over there. It was rich soil, rich land, rich ground. How many know it matters where you're planted? It matters where you are planted. You know, sometimes people even think with churches, well, I could go here, go there, whatever. And I'm not throwing off on any type of church, but how many know you need to be planted where you can grow? You need to be planted where you can reproduce what God has purposed in your life for you. Hallelujah. And so they were in the land, and they came back with a report, and 10 said, oh, yeah, it's a good land. I mean, it's a great land. It flows with milk and honey, but there are giants in the land. And we are in our own eyes as grasshoppers, and so we are in their eyes. Hallelujah. How many know? They didn't say we were in their eyes as grasshoppers. He said we were in our own eyes as grasshoppers. I mean, it's important what you see. And sometimes you got to see beyond what you see. Anybody had to look beyond what you see at the moment or the circumstances you're looking at right now and say, you know, we're going to have to see beyond this moment. Because right now it don't look so good. Right now it may not look so fruitful. Right now it may not look so prosperous. It doesn't look like things are going to pan out in the end. Sometimes you got to look beyond what you see right now and say, yeah, there were giants in the land. They said, but we were in our own eyes as grasshoppers. And so because we were as grasshoppers in our own eyes, so we were in their eyes. Hallelujah. And so they were ready to give up on their inheritance and ready to give up on their promises. Can I tell you today, don't ever give up on your promises. Don't ever give up on your inheritance. Don't ever give up on the word of the Lord in your life and the promises of God. The scripture says that his word and his promises are yes and amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. They are yes and amen. Anybody ever had a word delay? Hallelujah. Ever had promises of God be delayed? Say, Lord, where are you? Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden you see things begin to come together and you say, oh, now I see, Lord, what you're doing. Hallelujah. And so they did not see themselves victorious in the promised land. How many know their attitude was contagious? Because they come back in fear. How many know fear is contagious? Somebody else around you is fearful. It doesn't take very long till everybody's fearful. Amen. Anybody ever hear a bump in the night? Hallelujah. I tell Dan all the time, I said, honey, when you're not here, this house makes all kinds of noises. Obviously, they make all them noises when he's there. It just doesn't matter to me. Because I know he'll protect me, right? I mean, you know, you got that mindset, so you don't notice it near as bad till you're by yourself. How many know sometimes when you're by yourself, it can be a fearful place? Hallelujah. And so because they come back in fear, I mean, you know, there was a whole generation of people that missed out on the promised land of God. But there was a day when Joshua would stand at the bank of the Jordan River. And he would succeed Moses. And God would say to him, Joshua, today I'm going to make you important. I'm going to make you valid. I'm going to make you legitimate in front of the children of Israel. And today you're going to cross over into the promised land that you spot out 40 years ago. And you said, this is my land. This is my inheritance. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you got to stand in the place where you are and say, this is my land. This is my inheritance. This is my promise from God. And I will walk in what God has promised for me. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes in your families, you've got to stand in a place and say, Lord, I will stand in this place and I will see the salvation. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. How many know he made that declaration? He didn't ask for an amen or owe me from anybody else. He said, I'm going to make a declaration today. I'm going to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And so he stood in a place and he declared and prophesied, and he stood at the banks of the Jordan River. And when he stepped into the Jordan River with that mercy seat, how many know the waters of Jordan rolled back all the way to the city of Adam? And they walked across on dry ground. And Joshua said, pick up a rock and carry it with you, because when we get to the other side and the generations ask us, what meaneth this rock pile? What meaneth this monument? You can say, that was the day that God gave us deliverance and we crossed over the Jordan on dry ground. Hallelujah. How many know we got to have some memorials? We got to have some, and I'm not talking about building up idols. I'm talking about some reminders, some memories. How many know that's what testimonies are? The other Wednesday night in church, we talked a little bit about testimonies, and I'm going to go there a little bit this morning. But how many know our testimonies are where God brought us from and to where we are now? Hallelujah. If we don't remember our history, the next generation will not make history. Amen. How many know sometimes you got to remember where you came from to realize where you're going? Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the memorials behind me, the generations of the witness and the promise of God and the victories of God in our family, where God has brought us to this day. And that is a propeller and a springboard to get to the next generation. Amen? Hallelujah. I believe those legacies need to continue. Well, last Sunday was also Pentecost Sunday, but we did memorials instead. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Pentecost Sunday today. So I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 2, I believe, Carlin. How many know Jesus began to speak in the book of John, and he began to tell the disciples, and, you know, John 14 starts out saying, don't let your heart be troubled. He just has the Last Supper with the disciples. He washes their feet. He shares the communion bread with him. He sends Judas off to betray him. Peter says, Lord, though I die with you, I will go with you to the cross. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter is distraught, and he says, but he goes on into John chapter 14. See, our King James, it ends at chapter 13, but he goes right on into John chapter 14 and says, but don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, and in my Father's house are many mansions. And he begins to encourage his disciples and says, guys, they're going to smite the shepherd, and the sheep are going to scatter. For fear, you're going to run for your lives. You're going to go away from me for a little while. But don't let your heart be troubled, because I'm going to prepare a place for you, a place that I call Calvary, that where I am, there you may be also. How many know, even though Peter messed up, there was a place called Calvary. Even though Thomas denied him, there was a place called Calvary. Hallelujah. Every one of the disciples, even though they left him in fear, how many are glad that there was a place called Calvary? There was a place of the cross that Jesus took my sins. He took my failures. He took my shortcomings. He took my fear. He took my doubt. And he took it to a place called Calvary, that he could take it into himself on the cross, that he could trade places with me. He who knew no sin became sin for me, that I could become the righteousness of God in Christ. He took that on himself. Amen. He made that sacrifice for me. Did Jesus know Peter was going to mess up? Yes, he did. He told him, Peter, I'm going to let you know even before it happens, but don't let your heart be troubled. How many know I believe even with Judas, if Judas would have understood the hanging of our Lord, he wouldn't have had to hang himself. Amen? If he'd have just hung on till he realized what the hanging of Jesus was about. Hallelujah. How many know we don't have to hang ourselves? His hanging was enough for us. And so in this same chapter, John chapter 14, he begins to say to them, it is expedient that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. And when the Comforter comes, he is the Spirit of truth. He will lead and guide you into all truth. I mean, Jesus prophesied and declared to them that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, would come. There's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all expression of the same one, but different expressions. He said, so the Holy Ghost is going to come. So he gives them that word. And after his ascension, he tells them, he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to tarry in the upper room until you be endued with power from on high. And it is on the day of Pentecost that they go to the upper room to be endued with power on high. Now, the Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. Passover was when the children of Israel come out of Exodus, made the Exodus out of Egypt, and crossed over 50 days from their Passover to coming out of Egypt. They were at the foot of Mount Sinai. Anybody remember what happened at Mount Sinai? The law was given. The law was given 50 days after the Passover. How many know when the law was given in the Old Testament at the foot of the mountain of Mount Sinai, 3,000 people died because they built themselves an idol, a golden calf, and God smote 3,000 of them and they died at Mount Sinai. How many know when the Holy Ghost is given in the upper room on the day of Pentecost after Jesus' ascension, how many know 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom? Hallelujah. Much better scenario. 3,000 souls are added to kingdom. How many know God came? He said, I come not to do away with the law. I come to fulfill the law and that we might receive grace and truth. How many are thankful for grace today? How many are thankful you don't live under the law? Hallelujah. There were 613 laws in the Old Testament that they lived under. And some of them get some pretty nitty-gritty. There's some pretty nitty-gritty laws. I mean, we're not necessarily living under those laws today. Jesus came to fulfill the law and to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. And so I'm trying not to go too much detail in all that. But I mean, no, in 2 Corinthians, let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, start at verse 2. And then I want to talk a little bit about the upper room experience on the day of Pentecost. It says, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. How many know tables of stone were replaced with fleshly tables of the heart? We're not going around carrying around a piece of stone this day where the commandments and the law are written in. Amen? Anybody have a Ten Commandments in your back pocket? No. Okay. In the trunk. Here. Anywhere. Anyway. How many know the commandments are not written on a piece of stone now to us? They're written on the fleshly tables of our heart. Saying that the law, Jesus came to do away with the law or to fulfill the law doesn't mean we are a lawless people. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, all the law and the prophets are fulfilled in this, that you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might, and you love your neighbor as yourself. How many know those are the two most powerful governing laws or commandments that you can live by? Amen? Love God, love your neighbor. If you go back and look at the Ten Commandments, you're not going to break any of those Ten Commandments if you love God and you love your neighbor. Amen. You're not going to kill, steal, destroy. You're not going to covet. You're not going to take the Lord's name in vain. You're going to keep, you know, all the different things. You're going to honor the Lord thy God. How many know it's now written on fleshly tables of our heart that we're governed by the Holy Spirit? There is a governor that lives in the house. So now it's not just about a law you can keep. It's about a life that can keep you. Amen. The presence of God is now an indwelling. It's not an external writing tablets of stone. It is an internal work that God does in your life. When we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, how many know Father, Son, and Holy Ghost come and take up their abode within you? It lives. Jesus said, I and my Father will come and we'll take up our abode in you, and I will send the Comforter, that he will come and he will lead and guide you into all truth. Let me just say to this, the greatest GPS system you will ever have is the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. Hallelujah. The power of the Holy Ghost in your life that will lead and guide and direct you in all your ways and in all truth. Amen. Hallelujah. It is that GPS system that when you're going down the road and God begins to speak to you and says, you need to stop and do this, or you need to call this person, or you need to visit that person, or you need to go there or do this. How many know that is the power of the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Hallelujah. When we miss that voice or we're not sure what we're supposed to do, it does that little recalculating thing. How many are glad that recalculating? You get them GPS systems, you go down the road, you take a wrong turn, you get off on a ramp you weren't supposed to, it'll say recalculating, and it'll help you get back to where you need to be. Amen. How many are thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit that every now and then when it seems like you're a little bit off trail or a little bit off track, it'll just bring you off the road, bring you right back around where you need to be again, because it does a little bit of recalculating in your life, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost is more powerful even than your own choices or your own decisions, and all of a sudden it can bring you right back around to where you need to be in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody ever had to do any recalculating in your life before? Hallelujah. A couple honest people in here with me today. Hallelujah. I've had to do some recalculating a time or two in my life. I've had to step back and say, oh God, I think I might need to take that turn back there. I think that's where you were directing me, and I think I had my own way of going. Anybody ever had their own map, you know, or your own trail mapped out, and all of a sudden it, you know, it's not working the way you think it ought to be working? Hallelujah. So I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us. It says in verse 4, "And such trust we have through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but of our own sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter of the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, which is the law, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be even more glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use such plainness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of which was abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." Everybody say, in Christ. "But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty," or freedom. "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And we'll start there at verse 1 and just read for a little ways. And says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place." They were all in one accord in one place. I want to tell you this morning, there's power in unity. There's power in being all of one mind in one accord in one place. Hallelujah. I mean, when we come together in the house of the Lord, we all come together for the purpose of worshiping Him. Amen. We come to celebrate Him. We come to be in the presence of the Lord, to be in unity in mind of whatever the Spirit has purposed for us today that we receive that. Amen? Hallelujah. And sometimes the amount that you receive is to the amount that you open your hearts to receive what God has for you. Amen? Hallelujah. As we begin to just flow together in unity in the house of the Lord, in one accord, in one place, how many know the Holy Ghost shows up? They're in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, in one accord, in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now this was noised abroad. The multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya about, Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes, Arabians, we do hear them speaking our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Other mocking said, These men are full of new wine. They have had a little bit too much wine to drink. And they're just a little bit out of their mind. How many know they were a little bit out of their mind, but not out of his mind? Hallelujah. The power of the Holy Ghost. It says they were in one accord in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Ghost fell. The power of the Holy Ghost fell, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. How many know our language, it says, it, and every man heard him speak in their own language. How many know our spiritual language needs to be relevant in this day? The things that we're declaring, the things that we are speaking, the things that we are declaring of the Word of God need to be relevant to everybody that's in our midst, needs to understand what God is declaring. And I'm not necessarily talking about just speaking in tongues. I'm talking about the word that's preached, the word that comes forth. Amen? I mean, there is a prayer language of tongues that you can speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. Amen? It is the power of God in your life. It is the expression, it is the outward sign of the indwelling Spirit of God that's in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. One of the greatest things that happens at youth camp, and I believe, is the infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit in these kids. Amen. Hallelujah. And I was thinking, as I was thinking on this scripture this the other day, and I was just pondering some things in my heart. And you know, we've talked about my dad quite a lot, Pastor Jack. And Pastor Jack had quite a knack for laying hands on people. And when he laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost. We could pray with them for hours. And when Pap comes over and lays hands on you for the Holy Ghost comes. Amen. And we've always said, wonder what it is he has. What is it that he has that he just has the knack for getting people to receive the Holy Ghost, you know? But, you know, I thought about his testimony, and he had a hard time getting the Holy Ghost. He, you know, they had heard about the Holy Ghost, and they had heard about speaking in tongues, and they had heard about all those things, but he couldn't get it. It seemed like he couldn't get it. And he went to his sister's house, and he was talking to her about getting filled with the Holy Ghost, and he said, I'm just afraid I'm going to say something wrong. She said, well, you just go ahead and start speaking, and I'll just tell you if it's right. I'll tell you if it's okay. And he said, I just started speaking in tongues right there. And he said, that's it. You got it. And just like that, what happened is she said to him, just go ahead and speak, and I'll tell you if you got it. You're not going to say, people get afraid, you know, maybe I'll say something wrong. Maybe I'm going to say what somebody else is saying. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's something I'm just thinking. Here's what I say to you. Just go ahead and say it. And if you say it and something's wrong, somebody will tell you it's wrong. But chances are you got the Holy Ghost, and all you got to do is speak it and declare it. And I remember him telling his testimony then of how he got it. And when he comes up to pray for people for the Holy Ghost, he would just say, go ahead and say it. Just go ahead and say it. Go ahead and say it. And he'll just encourage them until finally they just start saying it. And all of a sudden, once they start saying it, the Holy Ghost just takes over. And all of a sudden, they're just speaking in tongues and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's just that simple. And so for so many years, we said, well, you got to be holy enough. You got to be righteous enough. You got to be saved. Then you got to be baptized. Then you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you got to go through all these right stages. I'm just telling you, if the Lord wants to fill you with Holy Ghost, just go ahead and take it. Wherever it is, whenever it is, just go ahead and take it, all right? Hallelujah, because it's just a prayer language. It's not spooky. It's not weird. It's not something out there. It is the empowerment of God in your prayer life. The scripture says the Spirit itself will make groanings and utterances for us that we're not even able to understand, and that when we don't even know how to pray, aren't you glad that the Holy Ghost can take over and begin to pray and begin to make intercession for you? The other day, I don't even remember where I was or what was going on, but I remembered all of a sudden I had this feeling come over me, and it was just a weird, strange feeling, and I didn't know what it was. I thought, Lord, are you speaking to me about somebody? Is there somebody in danger? Is there somebody in need? I thought the only thing I know to do is just start speaking in the Holy Ghost, and I began to start speaking in the Holy Ghost and praying, and how many know that feeling went away? I don't know what it was. I don't know what was happening or what was going on, but the Holy Ghost knows how to take over. Amen? Hallelujah. I mean, no, it will lead and guide you into all truth. It will speak to you if you'll listen. How many times have you went to do something or went to us to be in a certain place or something like that, and all of a sudden the power of the Holy Ghost starts to raise up in you, and you're thinking, this doesn't feel right. This is not right. This is not where I need to be. I need to make an adjustment. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost will speak to you and begin to direct you in areas. Or I know times in my life that I was going to do something and the Holy Ghost would speak to me, and I went back home and the Holy Ghost sent me to the neighbor's house who was about to pass off of the scene. He was dying. I got a phone call. I hadn't been in the house 5 minutes, and they called and said, would you come? How many know the Holy Ghost sent me back home? Because for my plans for the day, I was going shopping, but I just decided to come back home, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost began to speak and put me in the right place at the right time, and that man gave his heart to the Lord before he passed away that day, because the Holy Ghost knows what we need even before we ask Him. Amen. Even before we ask Him. Now, some people say, oh, this says that they just spoke in another language, like if you were, you know, maybe I would start speaking in Spanish, or you start speaking in Italian or something like that. I really don't care how you interpret that, because if the Lord wants to put the Holy Ghost on me so I can speak in Spanish, I'll take it. If He puts it on me and He wants me to speak in Italian, I'll speak Italian. Hallelujah. It says, all man heard them speak. How many know the interpretation of the power of God will cause you to know and understand what He's speaking and declaring? There is a difference in just speaking in tongues and giving a message in tongues. And we'll hopefully maybe get into some of that later on. But how many know the Holy Ghost is your prayer language? It is the anointing of God. Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and says, men and brethren, these are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is the middle of the afternoon, but this is that was prophesied of the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Hallelujah. And he begins to declare something, and we get hung up sometimes on who can have it and who can't have it. How many of the scripture declares, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh? If we all had to be righteous and holy enough to receive the Holy Ghost, none of us would have needed it. Amen? How many know what the Holy Ghost does is come to reprove and to convict you of sins and of righteousness? Sometimes it's a whole lot easier to convince you of your sins than it is to convince you of your righteousness. How many know the Holy Ghost comes to do both? That's what John says. It comes to convict and to convince of sin and of righteousness. And I tell people all the time, they say, well, you know, what is sin then? And you know, we're going to preach on sin and all those kind of things. I tell you all the time, if you can get it past the Holy Ghost, it's okay with me. Because I'll tell you, the Holy Ghost will not lie to you. If you seriously will seek the guidance of the Holy Ghost in your life, it will not lead you astray. It will not lead you in a direction where you should not go. Amen? Hallelujah. And the power of God, how many have ever heard that still small voice in your ear? Sometimes it sounds a whole lot like mama's voice. Sometimes it might sound a whole lot like daddy's voice. I mean, no, but there's a voice inside of you that says this is not the way to go. Or a voice that says this is the way to go. Walk ye in it. Hallelujah. I mean, no, we have to become accustomed to hearing his voice and responding to the voice of the power of God in our life and walking in that. Amen? Hallelujah. And so Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and says, Peter standing up in verse 14, with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in these last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Everybody say all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That word declare also means preach. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. How many know the darkness already came on the third hour of the day when Jesus lifted up his voice and said, it is finished. Hallelujah. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, I don't think when I say that name, whosoever. How many know we just all got included into that whosoever? Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female, that all are one in Christ Jesus. All of us have the same rights, the same inheritance to the whosoever will in Christ Jesus. That's powerful. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And he begins to declare to them the message of the cross, the message of Jesus. Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost. Peter, the one who was afraid, the one who denied him, the one who went and hid, the one who, you know, we hear all the stories about. How many know on the day of Pentecost, after being filled with the Holy Ghost, we see a whole different man? We see a whole different guy. All of a sudden, there's boldness. All of a sudden, there's authority. All of a sudden, the understanding of the message of the gospel of the cross of Jesus is new and powerful and alive in the life of Peter. Hallelujah. And he begins to stand up on the day of Pentecost, and it says, and he began to preach Christ. And when he does, the scripture says, 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom at the message of Jesus preached by Peter. How many know that's a pretty successful revival meeting? That's a pretty successful revival meeting. 3,000 souls added to the kingdom. And it goes over there and it says, Peter in verse 38 says, and then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord shall call. Hallelujah. So he tells them, repent and be baptized and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So then all of a sudden in the church we think, okay, then that must be the formula for getting the Holy Ghost. You repent first, then you get baptized, and then you get the gift of the Holy Ghost. However, Peter goes over to Cornelius' house, and the scripture says Peter is on the roof, and he's in a trance. He's hungry. They're fixing lunch. And while he's on the roof, he's in like a trance with the Spirit of God, and he sees this sheet come down. And on this sheet are all kinds of animals, clean or unclean. How many know, as a good little Jewish boy, Peter says, you know, I mean, as a good little Jewish boy, he hears the voice of God. God says to him, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. And Peter says, not so, Lord. I am a good little Jewish boy. I have never eaten anything that's not kosher, that's not rabbi blessed, that's not clean. I have not eaten anything that's common or unclean. And Jesus speaks to him and says, Peter, don't call anything that I have called clean common or unclean. He sees that three times. After the third time, how many knows there's a knock on the door by a man named Cornelius has sent some servants to get to Peter's house and says, tell Peter to come down and preach to us the message of the gospel. Hallelujah. So Peter gets up and goes with this Gentile Cornelius who would have been considered unclean, who would have been considered somebody that Peter wouldn't have hung out with. And he said, guys, I don't even know what I'm doing here. He said, normally I would not even have come to your house. He said, but before you came, God had just spoke to me and said, don't call anything that I have cleaned common or unclean. He sends him down to Cornelius' house. He said, why did you send for me? He said, we want to know about Jesus. We want to know about this man named Jesus. We want you to tell us everything that you know about Jesus and what just took place and what just happened on the cross and then this person named Jesus. I mean, Peter just begins to share to them personal circumstances. I want to tell you, people say all the time, I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to witness, or I don't know how. I mean, no, your personal experience with Christ is the greatest message you may ever preach. Your moment when you encountered Christ, your path and how you got to know Jesus personally, you can only tell them what you know and what you've experienced. I can tell you there's salvation because I personally experienced being saved by the blood of Jesus. I can tell you there's baptism because I personally experienced the going down under the water and coming up, the baptism of Jesus Christ. I buried my old man in that pond down there. Amen? And I was resurrected a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things passed away and all things became new. I can tell you. About those experiences because I experienced them for myself. I can tell you the moment and show you the place when I asked Jesus to come into my heart to save me. I didn't have a whole lot of sins and I didn't really even understand what all that meant, but I can tell you the moment I experienced it. I can tell you the power of God in my life. Your greatest witness of tool is your testimony and the power of God in your life. You can tell me you don't believe it if you want to, and that's okay. But a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. You can make the point all you want to, but I've been there, I've experienced it, I know the power of God in our lives. Amen? Get filled with the Holy Ghost, and Peter says, what am I going to do now? Because I got to go back and tell the council that the Holy Ghost just fell on the Gentiles. And they got saved first, then they got baptized with the Holy Ghost. He said, we better get them to water and get them baptized, because I'm going to have to go back and tell them the Holy Ghost done fell on the Gentiles. The Holy Ghost done anointed those people that I didn't even think was worthy. It's done fell on those common and unclean, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost took over because I just preached Jesus to them. I want to tell you today, people, the most powerful message, you are, if we'll just preach Jesus, if we'll just preach the message of the cross, the Holy Ghost will fall. And when the Holy Ghost falls, the Holy Ghost is going to do what the Holy Ghost wants to do. And if you'll just get out of the way and try to quit trying to pick and choose who gets it and who don't get it, I'm telling you, we don't get to choose what the Holy Ghost does, but the power of God is real and alive, and it will come in to do. And when the Holy Ghost comes in, those things we thought were common and unclean, how many know it begins to do the changing, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. Hallelujah. There's something that cleans us up, that changes us from the inside out, not because I have to, but because I want to, because my desires have been changed, because my life has been changed. All of a sudden, my outward man doesn't matter anymore, but that inward man begins to come alive, and it begins to become renewed. And as it begins to become renewed, and the power of God becomes stronger and greater in my life, it begins to clean me up from the inside out. What am I going to do now? I got to go back and tell them that the Gentiles done got the Holy Ghost down at the house of Cornelius. How many know the scripture didn't even say Peter laid hands on them? It doesn't say he did any, they didn't do any seven steps on how to receive the Holy Ghost. They didn't go through any formula. He just preached Christ and the Holy Ghost fell. How simple is that? That we just preach the message of the gospel and let the Holy Ghost do what the Holy Ghost wants to do. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if we'll just get out of the way and let the Holy Ghost move, it will do what it needs to do. Amen. If we'll allow it to work in our life, and it says, and they all began to speak in tongues, and all of a sudden the whole bunch of them looked like the group back there in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Peter just shakes his head. Hallelujah. He goes back to the Jewish council, and they said, well, now if they've done got saved, then they got the Holy Ghost. Well, then they got baptized. We got that all taken. Well, now we need to circumcise them. He said, look, guys, this is Jesus plus nothing. It's just Jesus. How many know what happens a lot of times is we take new converts, we take people who get saved, we take people who get filled with the Holy Ghost, and we start giving them a rules and a list of things. Now you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this to stay saved and to do all these kind of things. And we start adding Jesus plus the law. I want to tell you, the greatest law in your life is the Holy Ghost. It is the power of God in your life. You might get it past your mom. You might get it past your dad. You might get it past your spouse, but you are not going to get it past the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen? You know, and I said as a little girl growing up, you know, a lot of times I think, you know, there's not the level of accountability that there needs to be sometimes in our life. But I remember as a little girl growing up, and I remember if I got in trouble at school, maybe some of you all had the same rule. If you got in trouble at school, you got in trouble at home. Amen. Right? Me and Wilda had that rule. You got in trouble at school, buddy. You either didn't tell or you hope they didn't find out, because it wasn't none of this like the, my mom didn't go to school and jump the teacher and find out why I got in trouble. If I got in trouble at school, I was in trouble at home. Now, I didn't get in trouble very much at school. But that was the rule in our house. What? You didn't. You're not lying to the Holy Ghost, are you, Butch? Yeah. But that was the rule in our house. But how many know that was not necessarily the thing that governed me? We had rules in our house, my mom and my dad. But I knew if I got it past them and I got away with it, I still knew God knew my heart. I still knew that God knew my actions. And those things kept me in the path pretty good than I needed to be. I mean, no, we all have our share of mistakes and problems, and we all fail at times. Yeah. But how many know there has always been that governor in my life that if I could get away with it with somebody else, I still knew I had to answer to God, and that God was that final. I still had that little voice of the Holy Ghost inside of me that would deal with me until I would come around and do those things that I knew that I needed to do. Amen? I told this story before on Andy one time. One time I got in trouble for talking in, I think, fourth grade. Y'all don't believe that, do you? I really was a very quiet, very shy, backward girl, but I got in trouble for talking one time, and I was in the third or fourth grade, and I had to stand in the corner out in the hallway. Now, the person I was talking to got to stand in the corner on the inside of the room, but I got to stand in the corner on the outside of the room. Well, Andy was in the same school I was in, so I knew when he come down to go to lunch that he was going to see me standing in the corner, and he was going to tell my mom and dad that I got in trouble for talking. And I hid behind that trash can the best I could, and I watched and watched and watched, and I never did see Andy come down those steps. But I knew in my heart of hearts that he'd seen me, and now he's got a secret over me. And I lived for days and weeks thinking, if Andy tells Mom and Dad, I am going to be in trouble for talking. Finally, I just had to spill my guts. Said, Andy, did you see me standing in the corner? No, I didn't know you were standing in the corner. I tormented myself over it. And then I told on myself because he didn't even know. But oh, did I feel free. When I finally got it all straightened out, boy, did I feel free, because now it was out there, it was dealt with. I don't care, I can't take the guilt anymore. Freedom came in my repentance. But how many know Andy wasn't holding it against me? I was holding it against myself. And you know what? So many times in our life, we live in guilt of past failures, sins, problems, things that we think we have done, and we're standing in this place thinking, people know all about me, they've seen all my dirt, they've seen all my sins, you know, and we're living in this place of condemnation, only to find out when we finally take those things to Jesus, he says, I don't remember it. I don't hold it against you. You hold it against yourself more than God has ever held it against you. Can I tell you today, if you're holding things against yourself, if you're living in guilt and condemnation, his power, his grace, and his mercy came to set you free. It came to give you life. That's what the power of the Holy Ghost does, is lead you to that place of repentance. Say, I want to be free of everything that has held me back, that has held me in a place of condemnation, that has restricted me in my life of who I was and to be what God wants me to be in my life. Hallelujah. Not one of us in this room can be righteous in our own works or in our own choices, in our own ways. Don't raise your hand, but anybody in here ever messed up in your life before? I want you to tell you that yesterday was yesterday. Today is a brand new day. See, when Peter denied the Lord, the scripture says the rooster crowed. Three times he denied him. Not just once, two, three. Three times he denied him. He said when he heard the rooster crow, how many know that was seemed like a voice of judgment, a condemnation against him? But what Jesus came to say to him is, Peter, that's not the voice of condemnation against you. That is the voice announcing and declaring. How many know a rooster announces that it's morning, that it is a brand new day? Weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So when you wake up tomorrow morning and you hear the rooster crow, you say, you know what? It's a brand new day for me. It's a brand new start. It's a brand new life. Hallelujah. Sing the song of the rooster and say, yesterday was yesterday. My sins are behind me, because the scripture says, as far as the east is from the west, I will remember your sins no more. Hallelujah. I do not have the power to make you righteous. No message I will ever preach, nothing I will ever say to you will have the power to make you righteous, but the power of the Holy Ghost in you does. It puts you in right standing with God. Hallelujah. It is standing with God. Hallelujah. It is the voice of God in your life that will lead and guide you into all truth. And guess what? It will bring you comfort. When I was living in my sin of talking and getting stood in the corner, I was in torment. And that seems like a silly story, but isn't that what we do? Instead of facing Andy at the beginning, I could have just said, Andy, did you see me in the corner? But then I was afraid he'd go tell. So I lived in my guilt and my judgment and my failure. until finally I just came to the place and said, you know, I got to face this. How many know every one of us have to face our sins and who we were in Adam? But that person, I told you a while ago, I buried her down there. In baptizing, I was resurrected with him, a new creation, a new creature. And the scripture says that old things are passed away. All things become new in Christ Jesus. It's a brand new start, a brand new day. Do we still have failures, problems? Yeah, we do. That's why we got the Holy Ghost. That's why we got the best GPS system in the world. It's not run by satellites. It's not knocked out by storms. Hallelujah. The batteries don't even run dead in it. And you don't have to update it. Thank God you don't have to do all those things. Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost in your life. If you'll trust the Holy Ghost, he will get you where you need to be. If he speaks, listen. Because he's got something to say to you. And if you'll listen, I will guarantee you it will save you some heartache and some troubles in your life. It will save you some heartaches and some troubles in your life if you will heed the voice of God in your life and say, God, direct me, lead me. Amen? I believe God has purpose and destiny in mind for people in this church and in this house today. If you'll trust God to get you there, he will get you there. God wants to put finances in some of your hands. God wants to put some people in your life. God wants to take you in places you thought you'd never go. God wants you to do things you thought you'd never do. Trust him to get you there. Amen. Trust the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning. Hallelujah. Beth, come and play a song, would you, for us? While we're waiting on...